Hello, you're listening to a Zen Studies Society podcast. To learn more about our community of Zen Buddhist practitioners, please visit zenstudies.org.
Good evening. Welcome to this New Year's Eve. Thank you for joining us for this New Year's Eve talk. I hope you all received the electronic New Year's greeting today from the Zen Studies Society with the wonderful picture of the dragon. And inside it says the following: May this year of the dragon offer us strength, courage, and wisdom through our practice. May our lives be filled with chances to grow and inspire this world to new levels of compassion and resilience. Before we go into 2024, before we can welcome this new year of the dragon, we have to acknowledge 2023, a year full of various experiences. Remember, we were still coming out of the COVID era, just gingerly returning to in-person activities at our Zen centers. You might recall the feelings in yourself, how difficult it was to change from one way of being back into this open society. It was also the first year that we had a full year of activity at the newly renovated Beecher House. Many thanks to everybody who helped with that. Another big milestone is the monastery restoration campaign to help us restore Daibosatsu Zendo, to help take care of many years of deferred maintenance. This is a wonderful story. We have already been able to accomplish some of the major projects. The Zendo and the Dharma Hall now have a different heating system, no longer relying on fossil fuel. The bell tower beams are being replaced as we speak. And of course, the location for the solar array near the gatehouse is fully prepared. All permits are in place. The trees have been cleared. The ground has been prepared. And soon we will be able to start that wonderful project that will help the Zen Studies Society have less of an impact onto this planet through energy consumption. Thank you to all of you who were so generous and who gave to this monastery restoration campaign, who gave to the Zen Studies Society in our year-end appeal, who gave all year through presence, through your Nen, through your meditation, and of course, through all financial contributions. Thank you very much. And we celebrated Shingyo Roshi's retirement on October 1st. An era came to an end. But the Zen Studies Society continues. As our president of the board, Hokuto Osho, said so nicely in his kind letter recently, it was like the flame going from one candle to another candle. A very apt picture and image for how this transmission happens. Of course, there were also some challenges. We were very happy to have 48 participants for our Daibusatsu Zendo Rohatsu session. We haven't had such numbers in a long time. It was a very strong session for 4 days. Yet, we had to stop early because some of our participants became ill. All of this put together, it was 2023. But now 2024 is a new year. It is the year of the dragon. You see this image behind me of a dragon, which you can find at the ceiling of Kenin-ji, which is the oldest Zen temple in Kyoto. It was painted by Junsaku Koizumi, and it's actually two dragons. And the most interesting thing about it is it was just painted recently in 2002. So here we have this dragon. I think anyone looking at a picture, an image like that, can see the strength, the dynamic element of the dragon, and the courage that the dragon has. And also, the dragon inspires us to be strong, dynamic, and courageous. Tonight, I want to tell you a story that has to do with a dragon. It's the story of Seiko. Seiko was an artist in ancient China, and Seiko loved dragons. He was fascinated by dragons all his life. All he made was paint dragons on scrolls, making dragon sculptures, making dragon furniture, and even he built his own house as a dragon's house. His whole life was dedicated to this making dragons. So, of course, after some time, the dragons took notice. And one day, one of them thought to themselves, well, Seiko loves us so much, I should go and make his day by visiting him in his house. And so he did. Seiko was sitting there painting yet another dragon when the real dragon appeared in front of him. Seiko was so scared and frightened that he ran away and hid behind one of his larger dragon sculptures. The dragon, quite surprised and amused, left. That is the story of Seiko, the artist, who was fond of dragons, who painted dragons, who sculpted dragons. But when it came to meet the real dragon appearing right here and now in front of his very eyes, he was unable to meet them. So, making an image of a dragon, sculpting a dragon, or carving a dragon is making our own idea of what this here in front of our very eyes is. Does that mean that our image that we create is the real dragon? Apparently not. Stories play into it, how we see that image, how it should be, what we have been taught, how we identify with it. I am the dragon maker. what we have experienced in our lives, and of course, what we desire, what we fear, what we hope for. Not like Seiko, who was unable to stand there, not hiding behind his own dragon image, his own dragon sculpture. We must learn in this practice and be ready to let go of those images and ideas so we can be able to meet that very dragon that appears every moment. Strength, courage, and wisdom are all needed. And we have a practice that helps us with that. Manifesting that true dragon means to be able to step beyond those ideas, to have that dragon completely swallow up any idea of self and other. One has to be able to engage in that activity of liberating ourselves from this own internal ministry of propaganda that tells us who we are, who we ought to be, who's good, who's not good. But the real dragon is that activity that we call the activity of no self, of Muga. How do we learn about it? Well, we want to learn about something we have to make relationship with what we want to investigate. We have to investigate looking inwardly, our own consciousness, our thinking, our identity, our stories, our reactions, all of that. But also, we must make relationship with the unfolding of the world, what happens in the world. And the same is true both for spiritual practice and for the manifestation of compassion in the world. So, engagement and relationship are central points. One maybe surprising aspect might be that that manifestation of compassion I'm speaking about in the world, not in the zendo, not on the cushion, but in the world, can take so many different forms and shapes. And some of them are more important than we might want them to be. One of those manifestations certainly is civic practice. So what is true both for spiritual practice and for civic practice is that knowing, feeling, experiencing, or acknowledging that things are not as they ought to be is very, very important. Many of us come to this spiritual practice because we feel something is missing. We feel we are incomplete, or we can clearly see that the way how we have been conditioned to exist in this world is not cutting it for our own inner peace. So just sitting there and suffering with that is just not enough. So we took a step and came and entered this way of practice. Setting out on this way of the Bodhisattva path, sitting down in Zazen, is that investigation of the dragon that unfolds in front of us, and the sculptures and the images that clutter our sight, that clutter our perception and our being able to make true relationship with what is. In civic practice, it is similar. Just existing in the discomfort that many of us might feel at this time of these fraught times in the world, where there is warfare in many spots, where human beings are killed, where ideology reigns and inflicts its ideas on what is thought to be the other. Just being uncomfortable and sitting there does not make it any better. We have to learn to meet our own level of discomfort in the spiritual practice and in the world with at least an equal level of engagement. As for our own painted, carved, and sculptured dragons, we need to learn how to let them be, not obstruct us, so that they don't stand in front of us, so we don't have anything to hide behind, like Seiko did, so that we make relationship that is authentic with what is happening inside, outside, or no difference between inside and outside. If we are afraid of egotism, ourselves, Zazen will teach us to see it clearly and how this little self functions. If we look at the same thing in the outside world, we might be afraid of autocracy. But certainly, investigating our internal dictator that tells us all kinds of things will be very helpful and important. This world of dualism, of just polar opposites, is easy. It's rational, but it's not real. Life is not easy. It is always dynamic, and our dualistic mind would just call it messy. But ultimately, it is just as it is. And thinking, as soon as the idea of the other comes into existence, we always get stuck in this feeling of that there is only a sum-zero world where if we give to the other, we will lose. Judgments, the same way, looking at the other and judging the other by the deficit that we perceive, works similarly and denies both the self and the other any chance to grow. But we only grow together. Competition, yet, is another sum-zero game because, well, one will win, the others lose. So, instead of looking what is wrong with the other, let us look at what we can do to move forward together. Comparison always refers to our own carved, painted, sculpted dragons. Behind which we might want to hide. But as we learn, the dragon will disappear and we will be left just with our two-dimensional ideas of what it actually is. What can we do? Might be the next question. Or what should we do? Let's build lasting human relationships here on our Buddhist side of the spectrum, we call it Sangha. On the civic side, we call it community. On the global side, we should call it humanity. It will only work if we have relationships between unique individuals, not between the dragons, the idea, abstraction of this group or that group. Let's connect on a level that is so basic that it is not overshadowed by these painted, carved, or sculpted dragons. But where there is this true human heart to human heart connection, it's very important to do that. One of the worst places to be is when these painted, sculpted, carved dragons of our own world begin to fight with each other. Difficulties will inevitably arise. We see it. I already mentioned warfare, the devastation of the planet, the killing of human beings, all sorts of horrible manifestations of fixation. And the inevitable harm and heartache that are caused. So, as we go forward in 2024, there are very few indicators that say this will be an easy year, free of conflict. Everything will resolve. We might even anticipate somewhat with this feeling in our heart that, well, there will be difficulties. What can we rely on in such times? You might ask yourself. I ask myself. It is these relationships that we enter into from human being to human beings at this non-dual level, heart to heart, not self and other. And of course, that's a nice thing to say, but it's a very difficult thing to do. And of course, there are many, many different levels and many different aptitudes at which we human beings are able to operate in this way. How quickly or how thoroughly we are able to put these dragons that we made aside and free ourselves from them. Be that as it may. All we can do, saying it for ourselves, is to vow to live up to the ability, to the best ability of our ability to see through this, to let go of the images, not necessarily to discard them, but to put them in their proper place and to step forward. And take the first step and bring along those who have a harder time stepping beyond it. We need to find what is in common. We need to not be just pulled into this dualistic idea of one is right and the other one must be wrong. I feel that 2024 will be a great year. Yet We are all here together. We have something in common beyond this practice, which we have to realize that we have in common with humanity. And so I know it is not an easy thing to do, but with your help, with the help of each one of us, we are making this place a more compassionate world, a world that will slowly but definitively step beyond warfare, surmount hurdles that appear to be insurmountable, informed by our own looking into the nature of ourself, and by realizing that ultimately this unconditionally loving of this world is the strongest of all dragons. 2024 will be a great year. May this year of the dragon offer us strength, courage, and wisdom through our practice. May our lives be filled with chances to grow and inspire this world to new levels of compassion and resilience. Thank you very much. And I wish you a happy new year.
This has been a Zen Study Society podcast. If you found it to be of interest, please consider making a donation by visiting zenstudies.org/donate. Thank you for listening.